The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.
Hello, hello, wherever you are in the world, welcome. This is Misty Young and Sherry Carey Baum with the Ocean Mist Power Hour, broadcasting to you today from KCIW 100.7 FM on your radio dial. We're coming to you from Brookings Harbor, Oregon. We call this the gateway of the Great Pacific Northwest. It is about as far west as you can get in the continental U.S. I love to say this is the home of daffodils in December, flowers all year round, and the nicest people you'll ever meet. And that's true.
It is so true.
It is so true. And I know it's true because I met you here, Sherry.
Oh, it's just such a good community. We really do try to take care of everybody.
Yeah.
It is a wonderful place.
It is a great place. It's a wonderful place. It's the place where the mountains and the redwoods meet the sea. I like to say that Harbor and Brookings is home to me. Before we get started today, talking about an incredible nutrition topic, we're going to talk today about nutrition and depression. We're going to talk about how your food affects your mood. We're going to talk about fighting blues with greens. But before we do, we'd like to say thank you to the entire KCIW sound engineering and production crew. Those are the folks behind the scenes that help make this little radio station, the radio station that could, that did, that is, bringing you programming from Brookings Harbor, Oregon. So with that said,
woo-hoo. That was a lot. That was such a mouthful.
That was a mouthful. It really was. Well, you know, I love to tell our listeners, Sherry, that I am not a doctor, I'm not a nurse, I'm not a scientist, I'm a nutrition nerd, a nutrition geek. I do hold a nutritional therapist certificate from the Health Sciences Academy and a plant-based nutrition certificate from the E. Cornell T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies. However, my co-host is a scientist. She holds a Master of Science in Nursing from the University of California in San Diego, or San Diego State University, excuse me. She holds a registered nursing certificate. She's also a plant-based nutritional therapist from the E. Cornell T. Colin Campbell Center for Nutrition Studies and is currently sitting for her certification from the American College of Lifestyle Medicine in Whole Food Plant-Based Nutrition. Is that right? Is that the actual title?
Yeah, I think so.
Something like that.
I'm not the word master you are. You're so good at stuff like that. But it's a wonderful way to incorporate lifestyle into changing your health for the better. And we have to go in that direction. We're such a population that relies on pills and relies on prescriptions to improve our health. And we have to really realize that we have the tools inside us.
Yes.
And the tool is available to us, whether it's food, walking, you know, reducing alcohol, not smoking, meditation, all those things entail a wonderful way to live.
You know, and awesome. I love what you just said, you know.
Oh, it was dragging out, baby.
It's all good. It's good. Well, it's meaningful, too. I mean, if we can take away prescriptions and pills and replace it with plants and with power from our own bodies, right? Whether it is, as you were saying, exercise, so walking or running or hiking or using the Pilates or, you know, getting onto a treadmill. Or going to the beach. I mean, anything that we can do to continue to be active.
There is green therapy. And in Japan, they'll actually write a prescription for green therapy, which means you get outside, you get in the trees, you get by the ocean, go outside.
Yes.
It's so healing.
Yes. That's so cool that you know that. That, you know, in Japan, they have green therapy. Yeah.
I love it. I always wondered what tree huggers meant. I was like, well, that's a little odd. But then I started hiking in the forest.
It's
awesome. You know, there are some trees that I hug.
There are trees I hug too. In fact, you know, I know today you happen to have done a hike this morning. Now, this is cool because if I'm not mistaken, you arrived at the studio here today at around 10:17 a.m. I just happened to notice that when you walked in. And you said, guess where I've been today? And I was like, don't even tell me you did Cape Sebastian already. And you did. That is is a 5.5 mile hike. So you had to drive to that hike. And it's not an easy hike either. I mean, I tell people, I'm like, it's world class. It's killer. Yeah.
It's a killer.
Yeah. And you did that before you even got here at 10:17 a.m. Oh, my God.
Absolutely.
That's so cool.
And I go with a friend of mine. And the other day, we were actually walking on the beach. And the tide came up.
Yes.
Almost got us. And we jumped out of the way and ended up on stones.
Yes.
And neither one of us lost our balance.
Nice.
So hiking, I tell people this all the time, hiking in the forest is one of the best ways to maintain your coordination. You're constantly thinking of where you're going to put your brain.
Yes,
or your foot.
Your
brain, your foot.
I'm always thinking about where I'm going to put my brain.
I certainly need to wake it up right now. You're always thinking about where you're putting your foot so you don't lose your balance. And for us to jump out of the wave, land on some big stones and not lose our balance, we're both pretty proud of ourselves for that.
Well, yeah, and I don't mean to out you or anything, but you're not 30, you're not 40, you're not 50. You know, you're in the third quarter, right? You're 60. And you didn't lose your balance, and you're not obese, you're not overweight. You're concentrating on living a healthy lifestyle. And that's what I love about bringing our discussion about food and about plants and about healthy, whole food, plant-based nutrition.
And exercise. Lifestyle medicine.
Lifestyle medicine.
It's in your hands.
Yes. It's in your life. It's how you live your life. It's your lifestyle that is creating your disease style for most people.
Unfortunately. And what is the estimate? 90% of diseases are secondary to lifestyle.
Wow. We know that, right? We know
it's proven.
Heart disease, high blood pressure, cancer oftentimes.
Diabetes,
overweight, obesity, all this stuff. Even Alzheimer's is part of lifestyle.
So much research is coming out of that.
Yeah.
And it makes so much sense. I think I read somewhere that 1 out of 2 people after they hit 80 will have Alzheimer's or will have some kind of dementia. And it's related to decreased perfusion through those little tiny vessels that are going to our brain, just like the perfusion to go to our heart.
Yep.
When you have obstruction of those blood vessels, you're not getting the oxygen, you're not getting the nutrients that you need. So we're really learning that Alzheimer's and dementia plays a role, diet plays a role in it, just like it does with heart disease. Now, is it related for every person that gets dementia, every person that gets Alzheimer's, is it because of that? No, but a large percentage is.
Mm-hmm.
And you can cure that. You know, you can start to heal your body now. No matter what age you are, you can change your diet and you can change your lifestyle. You can walk, you can move. You may not walk far. I don't care how far.
Yes.
Just move.
Yes.
And move slowly. If you can't do an hour, 10 minutes. Get up,
do
10
what you can.
And then in another hour or two, do another 10 minutes or 5 minutes and work your way up until you're exercising. The recommendation is at least 150 minutes a week.
Which isn't that hard to do. 150 minutes is what, 2.5 hours? Is
about
that right?
About two and a half.
Yeah, that's not hard to do. Especially if you think about, I mean, it's so weird when you hear people kind of talking about, well, I don't know, you know, why would I go vegan? I mean, lions aren't vegan. And, you know, my ancestors aren't vegan. My ancestors used to have to, you know, run out there and catch their food. And, you know, this is kind of the thing that people say. Well, your ancestors were running, right?
They were running.
Our ancestors were running.
They also weren't eating the volume of meat we eat.
Or so, just the volume of food.
No, but the volume of meat.
Specifically of meat, of course.
So when you look at all the areas that have such wonderful health, the blue zones.
Yes.
They may have a little bit of meat.
Yep.
Right? These are the areas in the world that have the least dementia, the least heart disease, the least cancer, the least diabetes. And
least
it's
obesity.
Related to their diet and their activity.
And when you say it's related to their diet, it's primarily related to the fact that most of them do not eat animal products or they very, very low amounts.
You know, you might have 1 or 2 little ounces that they put in a big stew.
Yeah.
So it's mainly for flavoring. And we, I know.
I say gross. Like,
but it's a fact that the less meat we eat, the less dairy we eat, eggs, etc., the less cholesterol, the less blockage, the less inflammation in our body, and you're going to have better health. You're going to have a better life. You're going to need less medications. Now, you and I are not here to tell people if you're on medication to stop your medication.
No.
Eat a vegan diet. No. We're here to say, go whole food, plant-based, check in with your doctor, and find out if you can reduce the medications that you're on because you've changed your lifestyle.
Well, you're going to need to, right? You're going to need to. If you go whole food, plant-based, you stop eating the animal products, you stop eating the high saturated fats and the cholesterol. Oh my God, this week I watched a video from Dr. Greger. I went on his nutritionfacts.org, which, you know, we're not asking you to take our word for any of this. We're asking you to hear it, listen to it, make a determination, and learn a little bit more about it. Yeah, we want you to take our word, but we also want you to do some personal research of your own. So some of the resources that you can do to go find more information, go look up nutritionfacts.org. Go look up the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, or PCRM.org. Go look up Dr. John McDougall. There's so many great resources. In fact, Absolutely. If you just type in WFPB, which stands for Whole Food Plant-Based, into Google, you're going to find tremendous numbers of resources.
And it's validated research. It's not someone's opinion.
Well, this is what I love about Dr. Greger's work so much on nutritionfacts.org. You know, he says, look, I review all the scientific literature so you don't have to, right? So if you feel like, oh, well, you know, it's not for real, it's not for trues, it is for real and it is for trues. It's for trues and for reals. And you can get the scientific citations when you go look at the stuff. So I want to encourage you to go to Dr. Greger's site, nutritionfacts.org, and look up his video about food as medicine. And there's a video there. It's a presentation I think he made to physicians.
Right.
And it's awesome. He talks about cholesterol. And at the very, I love electron microscopy. Like, I'm weird, right? So electron microscopy is essentially microscopes that are super highly magnified, right? So you magnify. And then when you get down into it, I mean, you can look at something 2,000 times the size of it because you're looking at it with electron technology. Well, guess what happens to cholesterol? The ends of the cholesterol turn into knives and needles. Yeah. Little knives and needles that are spears poking out at the end of the cholesterol. So if you have high cholesterol, it's crystallizing in your body. It's crystallizing in your joints. It's crystallizing in your brain. It's crystallizing in your arteries. It's crystallizing in your heart. It's breaking off. It's causing heart attacks. In fact, in that video, Dr. Greger says, so we kind of wondered if tissue could be perforated. Okay, did you hear that? Could tissue be perforated? In other words, could it be cut by these little crystallizations, cut or punctured by these little crystallizations? And the answer was yes, because tissues are really tender.
Well, and if you think about the inside of a blood vessel, those cells are so thin and so tiny. It's not a thick, like rubber hose. It's very, very delicate. And so if you've got a lot of cholesterol going, it's going to actually inflame.
Scrape and rough it up.
Rough it up. Inflame the inside of your blood vessels, and then more cholesterol is going to attach. Remember, we talk a lot about how the plaque buildup, it's almost like you have a wound from the cholesterol and from inflammation. And so then you're going to constantly put layers over it. And then you've got an obstructed
blockage.
Blood vessel.
Right. Then you've got a blockage.
And then if that breaks off,
out.
Well, you have a clot. You have a blood clot that can cause stroke and also damage your heart.
Oh my gosh, it's just crazy. And the part about it that blows me away the most is when people will take a anti-cholesterol or a cholesterol-lowering drug, or for instance, a gout drug, right? So gout is arthritis, right? Gout is a crystallization in the blood.
Crystallization, inflammation in the big toes of all things.
Right.
But miserable.
It's miserable. But instead of just changing what goes in your mouth, it's so much easier. This is really trippy. And I know we're here to talk about depression today, but I have to say one more thing. So there's this guy that we've known who runs every day. I mean, the guy's old. He's like in his 80s now. And he runs and he runs and he runs. And I've seen the guy run in horizontal rain. Like he is dedicated.
Wow, more dedicated than
Super dedicated. And when I haven't seen him in a while, and I said to Gary the other day, I'm like, you know, I haven't seen that guy. I'm not going to say his name. I haven't seen that guy in a while. And he goes, yeah, I haven't seen him either. And then Gary told me a couple days ago, he goes, hey, I saw our buddy. He had a heart attack.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he had a heart attack. And I went, wow, what a bummer. I mean, the guy is super healthy, running. So Gary said, did they suggest you change your diet? And he goes, oh, no, they wouldn't do that. This is his exact quote. I couldn't give up my ham sandwiches. That's what he said.
You know, I've had people tell me, oh, I don't have to worry about my diet. I take the statin every day.
Right.
Like, okay. So you're comfortable taking the statin,
right,
which, you know,
it's a mask.
It is. And yep, it has some documentation that it does prevent heart attacks. But there's some side effects that are pretty awful, too.
Yeah.
You know, muscle aches, things like that. There's quite a few. But people still want to take it so they can have their hamburger and their french fries.
Isn't that weird?
Their cheese.
Because dietary changes make as much change as taking the drug.
Well, and you get long-term changes.
Right.
Right? You get reversal of disease. We know that you get reversal of disease. Statins don't really reverse disease. They just put a Band-Aid on
it. Yeah, they kind of put a, I want to say a mask, but that's not really the right word. And it is a Band-Aid. Then that's not really the right word too. But they kind of give you this placebo effect, if you will. It's a mental, like
I'm
a lullaby.
I got my little blankie.
I don't have to do
pay
anything
for it, right, and take it every day.
Right.
And gross. Some people feel overwhelmed by including more fruits and vegetables. And I'm a little confused about that because it's not hard to eat an apple.
Right. I know.
It's easy. Or it's snack time instead of grabbing a bag of Lay's. How about if you grab a banana and orange and sit there and eat? You're going to fill up more. You're
so
going
to
feel good.
Yes.
But
I love this time of year when the cherries and peaches and nectarines and plums and bananas and grapes and apples. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, and all those berries.
Oh, everything.
I know. For dessert, I'll have a tangerine.
Isn't it the best?
It is so nice. So,
I know you make nice cream a lot, and you tend to make your nice cream.
Out of it, but I have to make it more often, yeah.
You tend to make yours with a base of frozen bananas always.
Frozen bananas.
Do you ever make it with anything else?
No. Frozen bananas and berries of whatever kind. And then sometimes when we splurge, I'll do frozen bananas, peanut butter, and cocoa. So it's like chocolate peanut butter nice cream.
Yeah, I want to try that, and I want to add a little bit of instant coffee to it because I really love coffee flavor. Make a mocha. Yeah.
So nice cream, just for those that haven't tried it. Basically, you just freeze your bananas. And I chop them up before I freeze them.
Yeah.
And I keep them in the freezer. And then I put them in my Cuisinart.
Yep.
With usually blueberries or pineapple and frozen tangerines.
Yes. They're so
Slice
good.
Slice them all up. Freeze them.
Yeah.
Put it in the food processor. And if it's too thick, you can just add a little bit of almond milk. And it tastes amazing.
It is amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
And you don't even have to save it for dessert. You could eat that for a snack because all it is bananas and berries and a tiny bit of almond milk. That's it. So it's a great snack for kids and for you.
Well, you know, we have, when my grandkids are in town, which they are right now, as you know, we have what we call hashtag food chat. Every day we have food chat. So a couple days ago, I hadn't gone grocery shopping and things were getting a little bit bare, which if you look into my cupboards or my pantry or my freezer, you're like, no, it's not bare.
It's not bare.
It's never bare. But I love to have a lot of ingredients around to make whatever I want whenever I want it. And I cook really healthy. And so this is going to sound so crazy, but I said to the kids, I'm like, well, breakfast tomorrow, if you're ready to hear this, it's going to be dun 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 nice cream. And they were stoked.
Whoa.
Right, they're getting nice cream for breakfast. Well, it was mangoes, pineapples, and strawberry. And I put a few dates. I rarely use banana in my nice cream. Yes, I know we have a little different on that, but I really love the super tart fruit flavors a lot.
Yeah, see, the banana adds, because you wait until
the banana adds the consistency of ice cream.
It has the consistency of ice and
creaminess.
It's sweeter.
Yeah.
You know, bananas are sweet.
Yeah, you kind of wait until the bananas are like on the verge of, I don't want to eat these anymore, although I love them like that. But that's the bananas you want to put in the freezer, the little brown spots.
I've heard them called Cheetos, you know, or Cheetah.
Yeah.
You know,
Cheetahs.
Where they have the brown spots.
Yeah, the cheetah bananas.
That just means that it's going to be a tiny bit sweeter.
Well, I love to make nice cream. I also love talking about how we can fight the blues with greens. And I'm going to just introduce this topic by talking about Dr. Greger again. He is the founder of NutritionFacts.org. And he wrote a book called How Not to Die, which immediately went up to the New York Times bestseller list. And it is an absolutely phenomenal book. In fact, there's a whole chapter in How Not to Die. There's a bunch of chapters, How Not to Die of Cancer, How Not to Die of Heart Disease, How Not to Die of, in this case, How Not to Die from Suicidal Depression. Now, we're not talking about suicide here, but we are talking about depression and anxiety. And one quote that I just love, and again, for our listeners, you can go to nutritionfacts.org. You can read any of these actual scientific studies. So I'm going to read you a quote right now. Both of these quotes are actually cited. So the scientific citations are there. So he says this. This is amazing. And then, Sherry, I'm just going to let you rock and roll because this is your topic, girl. Dr. Greger says, here's a statistic you probably haven't heard. Higher consumption of vegetables may cut the odds of developing depression by as much as 62%.
Isn't that amazing?
That is crazy amazing.
It is crazy amazing.
And he says, a review in the journal Nutritional Neuroscience concluded that, in general, eating a lot of fruits and veggies may present a non-invasive, natural, and inexpensive therapeutic means to support a healthy brain.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah, it is, because you can do this without suicidal depression creating drugs. I mean, haven't you ever seen those commercials on TV?
Oh,
they're like, ask your doctor about, you know, I don't want to take this, Adore, right? They all have some weird name on the end of it. And then it says, you know, might cause you to have anal leakage and might cause you to think suicidal depressive. You know, it's just like we always trip out on the fast speak at the end.
And I do have to tell you, those commercials when I was working in the office and I was doing prescriptions drove me absolutely crazy. These people would come in and write them down. They'd have on them a little piece of paper because nobody can pronounce those.
Ask your doctor about.
And
right.
Say, oh, I think I need this, Sherry.
No
and
way.
I'd be like,
it really happened just like that.
It happens all the time. All the time. Because who do you think they're advertising to?
Direct to consumer.
They're not advertising to doctors and nurse practitioners and midwives. Those commercials are
direct
for the public.
To consumer. Yep.
So that the public can go to their provider and say,
right.
I think I need this.
Right.
You're going, oh my gosh, really? First of all, most of the new medications really haven't been tested as well as I would like. Second of all, the long line of side effects drives
me
crazy.
Yes, the side effects.
And then two, you're just sitting home watching this going, yeah, I think I'm depressed.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you have a diagnosis of depression? And anybody that has a diagnosis of depression, we're not saying stop your meds and get on greens. That's not what we're saying.
Well, add the greens to your meds. Go ahead and have some kale and some spinach and some baby spring mix. Go for it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We don't want you to stop your medications, but we want you to eat well. Right now, there's over 150 million people worldwide that have depression.
Wow.
And in the United States, about 8% of American adults over the age of 20 have experienced depression in any given 1 week or 2 weeks.
Wow.
So that's a huge issue. And I'm sure a lot of us are feeling blue, depressed,
down
right now.
Especially right now.
You know, things aren't going the way we'd like them to between the virus and the civil unrest.
Yep.
So why, though, does food make a difference? That's what I want to talk about. Why? Because if you tell me just eat more vegetables and fruit and whole grains, beans, brown rice, things like that, I go, oh, okay. Fine.
But why? Right. But why?
How? How does the physiology make a difference? And you and I have talked about this over and over. Inflammation.
It's all we talk about. I can't help it. I love this topic.
But this chronic inflammation that we have because of all the toxins in our food, in our environment, are affecting our brain, the neurotransmitters. It's being affected by this chronic inflammation. So chronic inflammation affects every part of us. And when you're having a really bad diet, right, a standard American diet, high fat, high animal, high
cholesterol,
dairy, all those things,
all that.
We have to consider what it's doing to our body. And what is it doing to our gut? So a lot of information is now very new, very recent. We're finally figuring out how important our gut is, how important the good bacteria in our gut is for neurotransmitters. Right?
Mm-hmm.
This is how our brain works is through neurotransmitters.
Mm-hmm.
And we're finding that there's a lot of them in our gut,
In our gut, that's right.
So if we're feeding them the food that helps to decrease that chronic inflammation, then we're going to have a mood lift. We're not going to be as prone for depression or the blues or anxiety. You know, we're a high anxiety society.
Did you mean to make that little quote, little rhyme there, a high anxiety society, you know, like high anxiety society?
I really haven't, but it's true.
Yeah.
You know, when I was teaching nursing school and midwifery school, so many of my young students were on antidepressants.
Wow.
It's sad to think that 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds are feeling so anxious. But
right.
If you've always had food that was processed, that's full of preservatives, antibiotics, growth hormones, all of those
pesticides,
things,
fillers, yeah.
Right? Your body's trying to deal with it. How does it deal with it? It creates inflammation because it's trying to fix it. But that inflammation is systemic. It's not local. It's not like a little splinter that you have in your hand. Mm-hmm. It's systemic.
Well, and when you talk about inflammation, kind of go back to what you were saying earlier about inflammation. We were talking about cholesterol and how cholesterol gets these little spikes and knives and needles on the end of it. When we put foods in our bodies, you said that, you know, the stuff comes into your body and it roughs it up. You were saying that
right.
The cells lining your blood vessels, is that endothelial lining? Is that the
yeah.
endothelial lining? So the endothelial lining is really tiny, right?
It's
really
very
thin.
It's
super
like
thin.
One cell thin, right?
It's one cell thin. So if you're eating foods that are roughing that up, that's causing this problem inside your body and it's detracting your body. This is what I think is pretty amazing. It's really, when you create inflammation in your body, it's detracting your body from sustaining your health
right.
to focusing on fixing a chronic problem that you're creating by what you put in your mouth.
Right. And you right. have to think about how many autoimmune diseases are there out now and why are they here?
Yeah.
And again, we go back to we're chronically stimulating our immune system to fix something. And that something is the toxins that we're putting in our body.
Right.
You know, and it's not just our food. It's pollutants, it's alcohol, it's smoking. All of those things really do impact it. And that's why we talk about doing lifestyle medicine.
Yeah, right. It's the food, dude. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, right? It's the food, dude.
It really is.
It really is. And when you talk about all of these chronic conditions, these autoimmune conditions, what are some of those autoimmune conditions? Like, is arthritis is considered an autoimmune condition,
yeah,
right?
Rheumatoid arthritis
is considered.
Some people are considering type 1 diabetes has to do with our immune system.
Which
right?
type 1 is the kind that people say you're born with.
Well,
they, in the past, they used
born.
To say that.
Yeah,
right.
It's childhood.
Childhood.
So something is stimulating malfunction in our pancreas. And they're thinking that there's some new research that is looking at whether or not it started with an autoimmune response.
Right. Gary calls that a malfunction of the fricostat.
I like Gary.
I know. Gary's so good. He's like, well, if somebody had a malfunction of the fricostat, and in that case, a lot of times what I've read is that the current research is saying that dairy likely the cause of type 1 diabetes. So here's this poor little baby, and here's a mommy who's feeding the poor little baby some kind of cheese or sour cream or milk.
Formula
with dairy in it. Like, people don't know. And this is the part that's frustrating to me.
No, they do not know.
A, they don't know. B, they're taking the trust of our government, of our leaders, of the food system at large.
Of our industry.
Right. And they're taking at face value, these things are good for you. These things are healthy for you. Milk, it does a body good. And none of those things are true.
Well, and they're taking industry that's trying to make a profit and saying, oh, no, they wouldn't possibly
tell us
we should have 3 to 4 glasses of milk a day plus cheese. And we know there's a direct link between prostate cancer and consumption of dairy and now also breast cancer, higher risk of breast cancer with dairy products.
Isn't that crazy? And once you begin to expose people to this idea that the truth is different from the message, right? So there's an indoctrination in our society. The indoctrination is you were born into a culture, into a society that eats animals, that promotes eating animals and promotes eating dairy products and eggs. We're all born into that society. The indoctrination says those foods are healthy for you. Then the truth becomes aware to you And all of a sudden, you really have this internal struggle.
You do.
As a consumer, the internal struggle is, but wait, all my life they've told me these things are good. But wait, if this wasn't good, wouldn't my doctor tell me? I'm curious to know. Now, I know we're talking about depression and we're gonna come bring this full circle back. If doctors knew that these foods, these calories, these sources of, I'm putting air quotes around nutrition because there is no nutritional value in animal products. If doctors knew this stuff, they would tell their patients, right? Why don't doctors tell their patients? Do they not know? Do they simply not know?
They don't know. I mean, you can look up and ask for a lifestyle medicine doctor, or you can look up for a whole food plant-based doctor. It's becoming more and more common. But they honestly don't have that training. In all of the years of their education, I think the average is maybe 20 hours of nutrition.
20 hours of nutrition.
Education.
And they go through something like 7 years of school or 8 years.
And then you've got your internship. So they're working hard and there's no education about prevention.
Yeah, you get a half a week of nutrition out of
pretty much
years and years
now,
of school.
It's changing. Like you said, Dr. Greger is teaching in some of the schools. I know that the Physicians Committee and Dr. Bernard is developing programs to introduce into the medical schools.
New curriculum.
And they're trying to get laws to say, this is how many hours we need to introduce this.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite quotes is from a well-known doctor who does cardiology, and he's like, there's two kinds of cardiologists, the ones that are whole food plant-based and know the information.
Yep.
And the others.
Right. And the others, right. That's
the ones that aren't connecting what we eat to what they're doing surgically,
right.
You know, opening up a chest, stripping out veins, putting in new veins. We have to start paying attention to our health and our nutrition and understanding that it's not isolated. Nothing in our body is an isolated entity.
Yeah. Nothing's isolated. It's all a systemic.
It's all. I mean, when you think about what our liver does and what our kidneys do, they're all intertwined. And so you can't just say what we put in our mouth doesn't affect every part of our body. And that's why we're at higher risk for depression and anxiety, and then ADHD for children. What are we feeding our children? And then we're labeling them as ADHD.
Right, which is attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, right?
Right.
Yeah.
They keep changing the name.
But ADHD is one of those crazy things. It's you know, I'm not ratting Gary out. He talks about this freely, but he was one of those ADD kids. At the time, it wasn't ADHD. They just called it ADD, attention.
Or hyperactive.
Oh, no, hyperactive. Yeah,
that
they just called him hyperactive.
Called. Yeah,
yep,
just
they just called him
hyperactive. Kid.
So they didn't call it ADD. They just called it hyperactive. And they put him on Ritalin. So here's the crazy thing. He was on Ritalin for like 9 or 10 years. Here's the really crazy thing. He would get up in the morning and his mom would give him Carnation instant breakfast. That was his
pure
breakfast.
Pure sugar and chemicals.
Right, exactly.
And dairy, dry dairy.
So he goes to school with that in his body. Bless his mom. She didn't know.
Oh,
she was being marketed to as this is like the top of the line, current science.
I had it too.
Yes.
It was a treat because it was so packed with sugar.
Oh, it was not a treat for Gary, man. It was breakfast every day.
Yeah, but I mean, we all knew that. It was an exciting breakfast to have.
It's thrilling.
And your parents gave it to you because they thought it would keep you going through the day.
Right. Yeah. Instead, it landed him on medication.
Right. Well, what it does, and that's part of the problem with ADHD, is the children are active children. And what we're giving them, though, is sugar.
Right.
And then they drop. Right.
And then they drop.
And it crashes. And
right.
then they eat again. And what happens with the whole food plant-based diet is you don't have that up and down. You have a consistent level of blood sugar. So these kids aren't flying on top of the ceiling and then crashing down and not able to focus, not able to learn, because that's why they're putting them on Ritalin, right? Is they want them to sit in their seat and learn.
Right.
So when you're giving them blood sugar spikes and drops, how do you learn?
You know what?
Right? How do you learn?
Yeah. How do you learn? How do you
look at how many sugar cereals? I mean, I couldn't believe it when I walked down the aisle and they had Hershey's Kiss.
Oh my
cereal.
Gosh.
So
right.
Chocolate cereal, right? For breakfast for kids. How much sugar is in there?
Yeah.
And when we look at how much as a society sugar we have, and it's not that these are bad parents, it's hidden in the food. You don't know it.
Exactly.
There's sugar in ketchup, sugar in spaghetti sauce, right? Ragu, high sugar. Peanut butter. Have you ever tried to read the back of a label of peanut butter and try to get the one without sugar or high fructose syrup?
Or added palm oil. Yeah, I get the one that says peanuts and salt. That's it. Yeah.
Me too. But people don't understand what's in the food they're buying because they're in a hurry. They're buying what they've always had and they're buying what tastes good. And I have to tell you, Skippy is a treat. I mean, you might as well have a Reese's Pieces when it comes to Skippy peanut butter.
But the fact of the matter is people think they're doing well and they're in this indoctrinated society that says, you know, something like Carnation Instant Breakfast is going to be healthy for you, but it's not. In fact, it causes the same kind of inflammation in your veins as it does in your brain. No wonder these poor kids can't sit down at school and get what they need in order to get through a day of learning.
Right. And sitting, you know, we expect these kids to sit, but we give them sugar for breakfast and for lunch, right? Skippy peanut butter and jelly for lunch.
Right.
Right. And then a package of chips. And
in with white bread that's been enriched. Yeah.
Yeah. And how long does that last, though? We expect these children to go for an extended period of time without a snack or without food.
Right.
But we're giving them high sugar food that makes them crash. And when you talk about depression and ADHD, and we listen to Dr. Greger again, he says the most pro-inflammatory foods are saturated fats and trans fats, right? So those cause inflammation. What is saturated fat? Where is it found?
Animal products.
Right.
Right. And coconuts. Right.
A lot in coconut oil.
A lot in coconut oil.
Crazy
yeah.
how much. But when you look at what kind of food we're eating, which is meat.
Yeah, bacon, eggs, right.
Right, a BLT. Well, that's got lots of fat in it.
Right.
Mayo and bacon,
oh my gosh, yeah.
And then add other things like cheese to it or whatever.
Right.
But we're looking at such a high diet of saturated fat, and it's not just one meal.
So Dr. Greger said, what was that quote again? He said the highest concentration or highest inflammatory foods.
The most pro-inflammatory food components are saturated fat and trans fats.
And isn't it interesting, like industry recently, ooh, you better not have trans fats. Like that became a big deal, right? I'd be willing to bet in the future we'll be able to find out that the animal products industry, the dairy and the meat industries really pushed on that trans fat thing. Because trans fats are now banned, right?
Let's blame it all on trans fat.
Right.
Not even mentioning saturated fat, right?
Right.
Right. We don't have saturated fat. Crazy.
In the meantime, people are, you know, stopping by on their way to take the kids to school and they're swinging by Jack in the Box to grab some kind of a sausage mix sodium something or other to feed their kids on the way to school because life is so about everything right now, convenience. Right. And we're doing is we're sacrificing our future, our health.
And our children's health.
And our children's
health. I mean, it's our children's health that I worry about even more because their little bodies are vulnerable, right? They're growing. They need as much healthy nutrients to keep those bodies growing and growing fast.
What are some strategies? I mean, if we're talking about fighting the blues with greens, what are some strategies that help right now, if you're depressed today, right now, taking some kind of antidepressant, I don't even know what Prozac or Xanax or whatever people take for, whatever those medicines are. What are some things you can do right now?
Right now? Well, right now is introduce some fruits and vegetables into your diet. If you're eating the standard American diet, some of the easiest things you can do is cut down on the white bread, ask for whole wheat. Try not to just get the complete white bread and then cut down on your meat and dairy. So I'm not saying you have to suddenly become whole foods plant-based today.
Not overnight. We want you to do that.
We do.
We want you to do it.
But
for today, right now, add some fruits, add some vegetables.
Add some vegetables. Beans are amazing. Even if you can incorporate a cup of beans a day in your diet. That would be wonderful. That would really make an improvement in reducing the blood sugar fluctuations.
You know I'm a bean girl. You know I love burritos.
I blew it yesterday just as a sidetrack. I decided I was going to make some beans today. And I, you know, when you pour them in to soak them the night before, You think, well, that's not very many, so let me add more.
I know what happened.
Oh my gosh, I have a bowl of 6 cups of beans.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, oh man, that's going to be a lot of beans.
But what kind of beans did you make?
Black beans and pink beans.
Mm.
So I'm going to make kind of a Cajun bean over rice. Dish.
Mm, that sounds
I'm add
so
some
good.
Kale. I sent my husband out to get lettuce from the garden yesterday. And he comes back with kale.
Yeah.
And I go, you do know
the difference between.
That's not actually lettuce.
Oh my God.
That's actually kale, but it'll work.
It'll work. That'll be so good. What's your favorite bean?
Oh my golly. The one I use the most is probably garbanzo, only because of hummus, and I air fry them so they're croutony.
Yes.
I put on garlic powder and onion powder and a tiny bit of salt and then air fry them or bake them at a low heat until they're really crunchy.
Yeah.
So that's a really nice snack. And then hummus, I mean, that can go in sandwiches, that can go with fruit, that can go in burritos.
Hummus and fruit?
Apples.
What?
It's pretty yummy.
What?
Yeah.
What kind of hummus?
Dip it with apples.
Like just like a kind of a plain hummus,
yeah.
Obviously. You don't put any like garlic in it for your
fruit.
Okay,
so you could add cinnamon.
What?
Right? You could
of
add
course.
A little maple syrup and you could have a sweet apple.
Oh my
they make
gosh.
Chocolate hummus.
I have had chocolate hummus.
It's
I just now
yummy.
Thought about that. Yeah. And my grandkids love chocolate hummus.
Yep.
I could make that for them.
Yeah, and then you're getting
super
beans
cool.
into your diet. So if you want to reduce your inflammation, reduce your meat, reduce your cheese.
Yes.
Reduce your eggs, right? And then let's encourage you to eat whole grains, beans, and 5 fruits and vegetables a day.
I know.
5 of each. I'm
5
talking
of each.
10.
Yeah. It always seems to me that we sound like we're saying the same thing over and over again, but the fact of the matter is it's the food, dude, right?
Yeah,
like it's the food. It is the same thing.
Food.
It is the same thing. So the fact of the matter is there's actually something called the cheese effect, which I really love this. Dr. Greger says that antidepressant medications were developed to try to boost the levels of neurotransmitters to offset their accelerated breakdown. But if the excess of MAO, which is called it's a monoamine oxidize, okay? If the excess monoamine oxidize is responsible for depression, why not just develop a drug that blocks this enzyme? And he says such drugs do exist, but they have serious risks, not the least of which is the dreaded, what they call the cheese effect.
Right.
In which eating certain foods, such as certain cheeses, cured meats, and fermented foods, while on that drug can potentially cause fatal brain hemorrhaging. It's so weird to think that you could be taking a drug that then you go out and you eat the dreaded cheese effect. So certain cheeses, cured meats, and fermented foods that could cause a fatal brain hemorrhage. Isn't that weird?
No. It's warn
creepy.
You about it before
they
prescribe it.
They warn you about it.
So you know
oh
which
my gosh.
Cheeses you can eat and you can't eat.
What?
Well, when you think about fatty foods, they reduce your blood flow. That's why you have the food coma, right?
Oh my gosh.
So if you've ever thought about it, you get a food coma because of the effects of the reduced blood flow.
It's That's
from
what
Dr.
the food...
Greger again.
Yeah,
I
yeah,
love
yeah.
Dr.
It's all right. Greger. I love Dr. Greger. He's amazing. So reduced blood flow.
Saturated fat increases the viscosity of your blood.
Makes it
and
thicker.
And that makes it thicker.
Yep.
So it flows slower, right?
What?
And that reduces the oxygenation of your tissue. So because the blood thickens from the saturated fat. And
in
if you
one
look
meal.
At
we're
it,
talking about one meal.
We're talking one meal. And they've done, this is in the Game Changer, right?
Yes,
they
I loved that movie.
They give you a high-fat diet.
Yep.
They take your blood out. And if it's high-fat versus the vegetarian or vegan, not vegetarian, but vegan, and you shake up the blood,
right.
You can see a difference in the flow.
In one meal.
This one meal.
This is the part that I think a lot of folks don't really understand. They're like, well, you know, I've been eating this way for 40 years. Like, I can't change it overnight. The fact is, you can.
You can.
You can. You can begin to change it overnight. Every single meal compounds on every other meal.
Absolutely.
For sure. But same thing is true on the reverse. So if you begin to eat beans and rice and kale and lettuce and fruits and vegetables and nuts and seeds and
absolutely.
All of these wonderful spices, before you know it, literally the very next meal. Actually, you know what's really crazy? If you have a steak, a baked potato with sour cream and butter for dinner,
Before you wake up the next morning, your body is already beginning to heal from that because you've
It's trying.
Now, I'm not going to ever suggest that you have a steak, a baked potato with butter and sour cream. That's just a heart attack on a plate.
Throw a little cheese in there.
Yeah, throw some cheese on it. I mean, that's a heart attack on a plate. It's sort of like, you know, my old neighbor saying, after having a heart attack, I can't give up my ham sandwiches. That's mind-blowing to me. If you do give up your ham sandwiches, if you do give up your steak, the very next meal, your body is already starting to correct and reverse the damage to your heart, to your kidneys, to your lungs, to your blood, to your entire system, your liver. All of those things are affected meal by meal. So Sherry, when you're talking about the Game Changers, that was an incredible, incredible documentary.
Yeah.
And I would say to our listeners, go look for that movie. Go find it.
It's on Netflix,
The Game Changers. And it actually, when it came out, soared to the number one documentary ever released on iTunes, on Apple iTunes.
So really,
it's phenomenal. Yeah, because they literally take regular guys, regular college guys, right?
Everybody has to go to that one scene.
Well, I'm not going to go to that one scene. I'm just going to go to this other scene where they separate the guys out into, like, I think there's three guys that go for a vegan meal.
Okay.
And three guys that go for a standard chicken, cheese, whatever meal. And they literally draw their blood, just as Sherry was saying, and they shake it or they spin it or autoclave it or whatever they do to it. And you can see it. Like,
you
they
can
do
see
this
the
test.
Fat in the blood.
It's like an hour after they eat it. An hour, maybe it's only 20 minutes. It's like immediately after they eat this food, they do this blood test. Guys, it's not like, oh, well, you know, 30 years of eating caused my blood to be this way. It's no, the last 30 minutes is compounding on top of all those 30 years, but the last 30 minutes is compounding too. We can change it in the moment.
You can, and you can reverse it. Now, if you go back to the standard American diet, you're going to actually get the same symptoms. But if you go on a whole food plant-based diet, you're going to start to improve your body and reverse the disease processes and the diseases that you have currently and prevent future diseases.
It's proven.
But when you look at food comas, you know, you think, oh no, it's just because I'm tired or whatnot. No, it's because there's a lack of oxygen and a lack of blood flow to your brain and to your
extremities,
muscles, and all of those things that require you to have oxygen to move. Think about that.
Yeah. Whoa.
So no wonder we get depressed. If there's not enough oxygen to our brain, we're blue, we're tired, we think something's wrong with us, and then we start doing that, something's wrong, I feel rotten all the time. No, you don't feel rotten all the time, but you're not supplying your body with what it needs to feel good. And what it needs is fruit, vegetables, beans, rice, all those healthy foods.
Isn't it crazy? I've heard some people say, you know, my mom wanted me to eat my vegetables all my life. She said, eat your vegetables, And then, so then I went whole food plant-based and she's like, how do you think you're going to get your nutrition that way? Seems like a double standard.
Still that old, where do you get your protein?
Where do you get?
I was at a restaurant the other day and I had, I think it was avocado toast, you know, just avocados with tomatoes on whole grain bread.
Yeah.
And the poor young guy, he just looked at me and he goes, do you want any protein on that?
Oh, man.
And like, I looked at my husband and I said, yeah, it's Sunday. I'm not doing it to him. I'm not going to give him a lesson about protein and plants.
Right.
I'm not. Now, there is one thing. There's some studies that talk about having omega-3s because you know that the whole part of the omega-3, 6, and 9s is that in all our processed food, it is so heavy in the six, right?
Yeah.
Processed food is a lot of corn. It's a lot of sugar. It's a lot of high fructose syrup. So we really have an overload of omega-6s. And it should be a 2-to-1 or 1-to-2 ratio between 3 and 6. So with depression, one thing that might help improve is not only going whole foods, cut out your snack foods, cut out the crap food, the chips, the crackers, all of that. And then adding flaxseed, ground chia, hemp to your oatmeal, to your salads, just getting the healthy omega-3s into your diet. We don't always recommend fish oil anymore because there's so many contaminants in some of the farm fish.
Well, and the research has shown clearly every balance of evidence states that fish oil is not effective.
No.
At all.
No, but
it hurts you. It doesn't help you.
We do know that by getting the omega-3s,
yes,
it does help you.
Yes.
Omega-3s are really a good thing to add to your daily diet and for brain health. And I mean, depression is brain health, but so is worrying about Alzheimer's and dementia. So getting your flaxseed, getting your chia seeds really does make an improvement.
You know, I like this idea of what Dr. Greger was talking about earlier, the monoamine oxidase. And what he says, and I think this is very interesting because I want to come back to this for a second. He says that the traditional explanation of how depression works is known as the monoamine theory. It proposes that the condition arises out of a chemical imbalance in the brain. We've all heard that, right? Oh, I've got right. a chemical imbalance in the brain. Okay, so then I need to get a chemical balance in the brain.
Right. So
hence, I take
chemical.
Prozac. Right,
yeah.
So give me a chemical. But what he says is that billions of nerves in your brain communicate with each other using chemicals called neurotransmitters. Your
right.
nerve cells don't physically touch one another, he says.
Nope.
Instead, they manufacture and deploy these neurotransmitters to bridge the gap between them. Now, if you haven't studied brain science, it's all about the axons and dendrites and the gaps in between. And that's
right.
all the synaptic gaps. That's all super exciting and fun. But what he says is that the levels of an important class of neurotransmitters called these monoamines, which includes serotonin and dopamine. Everybody knows about serotonin and dopamine. That's like just
right.
usual words that people say, right? Like, oh, I got to get more serotonin. I need more dopamine. Like, we just sort of say that. It's a societal thing. Like, eh,
right.
I got to get my serotonin. But they're controlled by this enzyme called a monoamine oxidase, also known as MAO. That breaks down any excess monoamines. Now, here's the part that's really critical. Listen to this. People who are depressed appear to have elevated levels of this enzyme in their brains. Okay, well, big deal, right? But the theory goes, depression is caused by abnormally low levels of monoamine neurotransmitters due to elevated levels of the neurotransmitter munching enzymes. Where do those come from? From animal products.
Yeah.
They come from highly saturated fats.
Right.
They come from these horrible omega-6s that we're just eating. And I'm so not a conspiracy theorist. I've never been one, but I can't help it. I think about...
Yeah.
I know, but big industry, big pharma, big medical, big...
They're all
profit-driven.
It's not health-driven. It's not population-driven.
It's profit-driven.
And we know that. I mean, the biggest example we have are the cigarette companies,
oh,
right?
Oh my gosh, right?
And I have to tell you, some of these companies that are selling you potato chips, that are selling you energy drinks... They're working out of the same playbook
yes.
as the cigarettes. They've used them to try to manipulate us more.
Yeah.
I was watching on YouTube, and I probably shouldn't get involved in YouTube, but
it's all good.
Whatever.
Yeah.
They were doing those Red Bull drinks.
Yeah.
Have you seen this one on
uh-uh.
YouTube yet? Holy moly. So they take the Red Bull. First of all, they get a balloon that you blow up, right, for a kid.
Yeah.
You know, you blow up a balloon.
Yes.
Cut the bottom in half, dip it in the Red Bull or the energy drink, and then blow it up. It completely seals the balloon again.
What?
What? I mean, so what
Gross.
Kind of...
What is that doing?
Is in there
oh,
that
man.
Seals rubber up to the degree that you can blow the silly balloon up.
Wow.
I mean, you've seen all those things with Coca-Cola where they
right.
put things in Coca-Cola.
Right,
and
to de-rust
them
and they dissolve
yeah.
them. Yeah.
But same thing with the energy drinks. And people are drinking them constantly.
Yes.
It just, you don't need an energy drink that's packed full of sugar and caffeine and all
Who knows
these
what kind of chemical solvents.
Chemicals
right.
to get your energy. Just eat well so that
yeah.
you don't have that drop in your blood sugar. And that's what people are trying to combat. And it all is brain chemistry, right?
Yes.
I mean, oxygen... Hello.
Yes.
That's the number one thing that our body
yes.
needs to survive.
Yes, exactly. Well, and, you know, Dr. Greger says, well, if there was only a way to tamp down the monoamine oxidase, where MAO, right, safely, well, how do you do it? He says, well, it turns out many plant foods, including apples, berries, grapes, onions, green tea, certain,
right.
they contain these phytonutrients that appear to naturally inhibit MAO, monoamine oxidase, as do such spices as cloves, oregano, cinnamon, and nutmeg, right? So this can help explain why people eating plant-rich diets have lower rates of depression.
Yep.
Don't you love that?
I do.
You know, we started this conversation today talking about, you brought up the blue zones.
Right.
You know, we were talking about the blue zones just in terms of their overall health, but the blue zones people also are happier.
They're very happy and they're connected. So when we're talking about depression, it's lifestyle medicine. It's having a whole food plant-based diet. It's exercising. What can you do if you're feeling blue today? Get up and move.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to be an athlete. Just get up and move. Get out of that chair. Go, you know, if you can't go outside, then go up and down your stairs a couple of times. Take a break, go back up and down your stairs, just depending on your physical ability.
You never regret when you're done.
Never.
You never, ever, ever regret when you're done, whether you're going to the gym or doing your stairs or hopping on your treadmill. You never regret when you're done.
And drink water.
Yes.
So many times. How many times have you felt like you were exhausted or you were hungry, but you just ate? And you drink a big glass of water and then you go, I'm fine.
Yeah,
but, you know, I'm not hungry.
No, you were just dehydrated.
Yeah. So move, whole foods, water. And then another huge factor with the blue zone is connecting to somebody. And I know it's not easy to connect right now, but you can connect through Zoom. You can call a best friend. I mean, I have to tell you, I don't like having a phone in my ear, so I get the earplugs with the little microphone.
Yes.
I clean house, talk to both my kids. You know, one's in Germany, one's in LA. We're on the phone daily, and I'm moving.
I love it. Oh, my gosh.
I'm not just sitting there with something to my ear. I'm talking to them and moving and cooking and doing all those things.
I need you to teach me how to do that, because even though I have earbuds and the whole thing, I'm like, when I'm talking to somebody on the phone, like, I'm even that weird person, like, I have to pull my car over. I can't even drive when I'm on the phone.
Well, I'm supposed to say that's a good thing.
I know. And it probably is a good thing, but I like the idea that you might be able to multitask. I just can't.
Well, you know how it is when you have kids and they want to just talk.
Oh my gosh, right.
And talk and talk. Yeah. You never cut your kids off. Never. So, I mean, my conversations sometimes are an hour long. And my son, he's so funny. Sometimes he just doesn't talk and there's total silence. And I wonder, how long will I let this go? You know, he's 35. He's a grown man. But he'll just keep me on the phone. And neither one of us have talked for a couple minutes. And then I always... You know, the number one thing I always ask is, so what are you cooking for dinner?
Nice. You know what? Next week, when we have our discussion, I'd really like to have us begin to have a recipe of the week.
Oh, so, that'd be lovely.
Yeah, I think so too. We could just talk about something that we created this week or something we were exposed to, something that we loved.
Yep.
Yeah, recipe of the week would be great. I know we are coming down to the very last few seconds here. I want to just say that, look, all of us can find a better way to have our diets incorporate meaningful psychological impact in our bodies. So our diet actually affects our mind.
It affects our whole being.
Everything. And it's not just the diet. You've espoused, and I really appreciate that you do, you often talk about, and we didn't say it today, but I want to end on this. You talk about the SAD, standard American diet.
Right.
And swapping it out with what you call the GLAD, the glowing lifestyle American diet. So it really isn't just standard American diet versus a better diet. It's a glowing lifestyle American diet. And so when you said exercise, food, connection, hydration, right? All of those things come to
all it. All matter.
All of it matters. Boy, there's not a better way to end the program than that. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Ocean Mist Power Hour right here on KCIW. We appreciate you. We're your hosts, Misty Young and Sherry Carey Baum. We're glad you were here with us today, and we hope to see you again here on the Ocean Mist Power Hour on KCIW real soon. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The opinions expressed here are those of the individual participants. Curry Coast Community Radio takes no position on issues discussed in this program. The information provided is not intended to substitute for professional medical advice. Always seek the advice of your personal physician or other qualified healthcare professional before changing your healthcare treatment, diet, or lifestyle.